Go ahead and hit the button. Is it working? Is it blinking red? Blink, right? Good. I would like to thank the conference organizers. That's the first thing I need to do before I go into the second part of my speech. I want to thank them for inviting me so graciously to what will arguably be my one and only CERT lecture that I will ever give. You laugh. And I don't want them held responsible because they didn't know what I was going to do up here. So, but this leads into the second part. You laughed, and I'm really proud of that because we need more laughter in this industry, in this society that we've got. I see some heads nodding back there. We take ourselves way too seriously, as I said. We've got those 10 stars, and we sit there, and we try and scare the user. And that's not the way that we're going to get the user to do what we want them to do. We can get them to do it for a while, but sooner or later, it's going to come back and haunt us. I've already told you, if we're going to be able to do this at all as a terrorist, they're going to be able to do it twice if you continue with the hysteria. You need to take yourselves a lot less seriously than you currently do. And you need to realize that Joe Sixpack doesn't care about you. Now, I don't care if you've got the opinion that Joe Sixpack is just misguided. Yes, Joe Sixpack, I really do need to go to New York City, and I really do need to go to the brokers who watch their broker friends get squished, and I need to get them to convince them to give me billions of dollars to protect them from what's coming. They don't care about that. If you do, that's okay. You've got that opinion. But I'm very close-minded on this point that you need to lighten up a little bit. As a society, you need to lighten up. Now, there's probably one or two people in this audience. We've got over 100 people here. So there's usually one or two people in this audience who are going to come up to me and they're going to say, you know, Rob, we really do need to be serious. Well, screw you. That's my opinion. Yes, yes, yes. Sit on it and rotate. And I'm deadly serious about this. I've had people come up to me after lectures, especially in the military-industrial complex, where they actually do like me because I have a security clearance. And they come up and they go, you know, Rob, you just don't know what's going on out there in the world. And I'm like, yeah, I do know what's going on in the world. I represent Joe Sixpack. Joe Sixpack gets to see a lot of cool stuff that you keep leaking to the to society, and you don't bother to do anything about the rest of the stuff. It's an offense that you guys take yourself so seriously. Society just doesn't like that. I meet a lot of people who just are like, you know, what is it with them? And I'm like, well, you know, there's just not enough Thorazine in their lives. And you need to go out to a comedy club. You know, tip your waitstaff. I mean, they really are putting the salt on those glasses just for your margarita, man. They really are working on that. You need to get that. And don't come up to me afterwards, oh, I hate this. This is my pet peeve. They'll come up and they'll say, you know, Rob, the time for criticism is over. Everything changed on September 11th. Oh, wow, everything changed on that magical 1-1 date. Everything changed on that date somehow. Yes, you know, hacking went down after September 11th. Do you want to explain that? No, I can't explain that because it's super secret, ultra classified. Eyes only need to know. And I don't know what it is either because it's super secret, ultra classified. But they'll sit there and they'll come up to me and they go, you know, the time for criticism is over. We need action. I challenge you. That's what they say to me. I can't stand that word, challenge. I challenge you to come out here. If you've got that criticism about what we're doing wrong, come out and do it right. Write that better product. Do that better service. Write that better book. And I'm like, no. I'm like Roger Ebert, man. Roger Ebert goes out and he makes movies better because he critiques the bad movies and he makes you avoid them and he lauds the good movies and he makes you want to go see them. I'm doing the same thing here in computer security. VMITS is doing the same thing in computer security. I challenge you. There's that word. If you want to come out and you think that I'm doing it wrong, if you really think that I'm doing it wrong, I want you to come out and I want you to start criticizing VMITS, because I believe in my heart of hearts that you're going to find out real quick that VMITS is doing a lot of things right, and the industry as a whole is allowing a lot of things to be done wrong, and you're not going to become our critics, you're going to become our competitors at VMITS. I want that. There's not enough criticism in this industry. It needs to improve. And I think we're going to go ahead and end part two. Before we go to the questions and comments, I am recording this. So I do want you to clap and hoot and holler and whistle and all that so that people think that you do have a sense of humor about you. I used humor as a comedy weapon. I used it as the sarcasm, the burlesque, the irony, satire. I used all of that specifically so I could get some knowledge down your throat. That is the most powerful thing that we use at VMITS is comedy. And we're going to be able to use it against you as long as you are being hysterical. It is the only weapon that we can use against the hysteria mongers. So you better clap and you better shout. We'll do the comments and the questions afterward, but let's go ahead and end this real quick. My name is Rob Rosenberg, Omaha Rocks. Thank you very much for your time. Where's your lighter, man?
Oh, you rock, man.
I'll take questions and comments. comments. I was hoping to let you go just a little bit early, but we'll take comments and questions. Yes, sir.
Quick question. What do you think of the theory that a lot of these virus companies are actually looking at? I mean, first off, you see all these alerts about viruses that are maybe affecting 50 machines around the world. What do you think the reality is that some of these virus companies are actually generating these viruses and releasing them into the wild?
Do I think that the virus companies are generating the viruses and releasing them into the wild, especially the concept viruses? No. And I'm adamant about that. I back the industry up 110% on this. There are a couple of minor examples. McAfee Associates, now Network Associates, accidentally released a virus on CompuServe in their own forum. And there are a couple of other examples. As soon as I can get the Swiss bank account of one of the companies, I will name the company that was providing money to virus writers. But they were really doing that. The Swiss bank account was just so that they could get access to the viruses that these guys were writing, is what they were really trying to do. It's not in the antivirus company's best interests on their bottom line to write viruses, because there are so many thousands of idiots out there, script kiddies or whatnot, who are more than willing to write Melissa and I Love You and Kornikova and Naked Wife and Nimda and Code Red and Code Red 2. So it behooves them to plow their money into, and you thought I was going to say antivirus research, marketing. That's what it behooves them to plow that money back into marketing. So no, they don't have to do any of that. And God forbid that they would do that, because the instant that they do that, it is very cutthroat in the antivirus industry. They are going to have their competitors jump up and scream at vehemence, "Oh my God, we've got proof, here it is." So no, they're not writing viruses. You have a second question?
Just a supplement.
Yes.
We get related. This whole kind of muted discussion about the ASM-1 vulnerability, which S&P and all the power and telecom infrastructure, what's your take on that? Because I haven't, I mean, the Olelo guys, I guess, was the initial discovery. I mean, all the technical notes and everything would be pretty much gobbled up or secured or whatever. What have you heard about it? Is it BS, or is there anything to it?
Well, the question is about ASM-1 vulnerabilities, SMP exploits, and whatnot. And the answer to that is we just need to look back to 1996 to the ultimate ping of death. Every operating system, with the exception of Windows, I love irony, every operating system with the exception of Windows was vulnerable to the ping of death back in 1996. Every operating system needed to be corrected except for Windows, which, ironically enough, you could actually ping of death through, but it wasn't susceptible to it. Oh yeah, I think I'll create a ping that is 65,508 bytes long, which is technically illegal, because it exceeds the maximum size of the packet. It goes over 64K, and then they blow it. So we fixed that, and I mean, we're talking about something that is fundamentally part of the internet. If you can fix ICMP very quickly, then you can fix SNMP just as quickly, in my humble opinion. And again, it's just a vulnerability. That's really the way I look at it. Security through obscurity, security through discretion, whatever you want to call it, eventually that whole thing's going to go away. It's just going to be one more thing that we get paid to think about, but which our users aren't going to worry about. It will die off. Eventually, operating systems will get more common and they'll get more secure. I think that is the way that we're going to go. So, did that answer your question?
Kind of.
Yeah,
I'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk afterwards. We'll talk offline. Any other questions here? Yes.
So, security professionals, how do you sell security?
How do you sell security? I did it through comedy when I was working for, I don't want to name the company on tape here, but I worked for a company and my boss was very lenient with me toward comedy. As we were going toward Y2K in January of 1999, our company missed a payday. Now, that's not cool when you consider that the CEO missed his payday all the way down. It was ADP had just, they blew it. And so ADP had to take a whole bunch of hits on people whose checks bounced. I immediately grabbed a whole bunch of cash out of the ATM machine, and I was walking around to people, and I was going, "Hey, do you need a 20?
Sure.
Do you need a 20? Here.
There you go. There's a 10. That's all I got."
And you can keep that. That's because you're cool, and I love it. I thank you for that. But seriously, I went around, and I played out this role. And I was like, "Hey, you know, this is going to happen in January of next, 2000. Do you need a 20 right now? I mean, my God, you're not going to get paid." And suddenly it began to dawn on these people, okay, I guess, even if we don't get paid, somebody will go to the effort of dealing with that. That comedy that I would use, I did another thing, keep the 10, I'm really serious. I had to give a lecture, my very first lecture that I gave at that company. I stood up and I said, okay, this was a small lecture, it wasn't in front of the whole big audience, but I said, we all get to park in secured parking. We have guards out there that are actually armed. They're in our parking lots, and we all have a little, you know, stickers, and we all get to go out there. And you know what I've done? I left my car unlocked. I put a $20 bill on my seat. I put the telephone on top of it, and I've got my keys right there. And everybody was like shocked, you know, jaws hit the floor. And I said, well, they're guarded. I don't have to worry about this, right? And they were like, ah. And I said, that's the way you feel about computer security. And so they get this point, and you get to use the little comedy. And then, you know, I wish that had been back there in the days when I had a digital camera, because I would have taken a photo of that. That would have been a cool photo. But it was just very easy to do that kind of stuff. And to get that comedy out, the users are going to appreciate the comedy. If you can really sit there, and I'm talking about all the weapons, sarcasm, burlesque, irony, satire, you're going to find all of that in Venus. So that's the tool that I would use. And I think it's a lot more effective than fear, because you can get people to understand easier. Think of, let me add on to this, Dennis Miller, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Bill Hicks, you know, you name some of them, the best social commentators of our day-to-day, and they're comedians. People will pay, I was telling George about this, people will pay $40 a head to go and listen to a guy talk about the death penalty. Gallagher, they will go and pay $40 a head to listen to him talk about gun control. They will listen to Bill Hicks talk about the Son of God himself and compare him to JFK. They will listen to George Carlin talk about how we need to get rid of golf courses and cemeteries because they take up space. People will pay $40 for social commentary. Senators and congressmen would kill other senators and congressmen to get people to pay them $40. So it works. It's always worked. And who do we kill first? We kill the comedians first. So does that answer your question? Yeah. Next question. Who's got another question here? Is that anybody? Yes.
Do you feel it maybe more focused when you put on recovery from this being you're going to get hit at some point, or if you do, you need to know how to recover? Because, like in my job, it's not really my jurisdiction to tell somebody they need a good recovery infrastructure. That's somebody else's job. But my view is our overall environment is not secure. I just know.
Yeah.
And you know, if something goes bad, there's nothing you can do about it. You need to recover quickly. So you need to know how to do that.
I don't know. Should we teach recovery? Should we teach recovery to people because it's inevitable? I don't think so, but let me use firemen as an example. I always pay firemen and cops to do nothing. I give them raises to do nothing. If they do something, that's bad. Firemen should sit in their firehouses, fill up fire extinguishers, and eat their own food. That's what and go up and down the pole every once in a while when they need to get their rocks off. But cops should sit around and they should give traffic tickets to me and they should eat their donuts at 7-Eleven, and if they do anything more than that, that's too much. Why? Because they're preventing crime. As long as we can prevent it. Now think of it this way. Who is the, at your company, think about this, here comes that sarcasm. Who was your first computer security expert at your company? Probably the guy who got infected with a virus and learned how to use antivirus software, you know? I hate that. It's like, you know, the guy who practices safe hex is a nobody, but all hail the jerk who barely survived a virus attack, or who didn't survive a virus attack. You know, Rob, you gotta listen to me, man. I know what I'm talking about here. I've been there. My computer's been infected 8 times. Wow, Larry King's been married 8 times, but I don't go to him for marriage advice, maybe divorce advice. But seriously, prevention is probably more important than recovery. And we've learned that we're going to always have to recover anyway. I mean, you are right in that point. We have to recover after the Titanic. We have to recover after every auto accident. We have to recover after every skyscraper that smishes people. So, you know, fires occur and crime occurs, and we've got those cops. We are the cops. We are the firefighters. But we go around and we try and prevent. So I think that prevention is probably the better way. But you've asked me a question I haven't thought of before, so
well,
that's pretty good.
Prevention, I mean, the
recovery is not
recovery as can be part of your prevention. It prevents your company from disappearing, for example, because financially you just took such a hit. Because I work in a large enough environment that I know that prevention is just not going to happen the way it needs to. Because when you turn things over into a production environment, you have some sysadmin who just got their MCSC, but has never actually had any hands-on. I know they're not doing anything.
Yeah,
and there's no oversight.
You're raising an issue that is pretty wide in its scope. The system administrators are one of our big problems. They'll turn off antivirus software is my scope of knowledge. They'll turn off antivirus software because what is the first instruction in Microsoft Service Pack 6A. Turn off antivirus software. And they'll go through their little routine. And what's the last instruction in Microsoft 6A? No! Go out and have a cigarette, man. You've installed Service Pack 6. Oh, yeah, that's right. I should have told them to turn their antivirus software back on. And so I'd have to go out every week as my job. My boss commissioned me every week at the company, make sure the antivirus software is turned on. So I had a virus, and I would drop it on the network and see what would happen on 33 servers. They never knew that. They never knew that because they weren't tracking that stuff, and it'd be deleted anyway. All the evidence was disappearing. My boss, Tom, is going to be sitting there going, oh my God, Rob was infecting the network. Well, it was for its own good, Tom. I love that phrase. Why did you send a virus through the email and infect everybody? Well, it's for their own good. Why'd you forward the hoax? Well, you know, I forwarded it to everybody except the antivirus team. That's the kind of guy that needs a clue. See the clue cards? I got extra clue cards for anybody who wants one. Not for you, for your users, for clues. But yeah, does that answer your question? System administrators are a real problem. And let's get a show of hands here. How many of you are system administrators and you've got extra duties? Yeah. You can already see a couple of hands going up. You know, go home. What are you doing here? This is very high tech. Go into the management section. Get away from the screen. I'm just being nice to you. Did that answer your question? Okay. Who's got another question around here? Yes?
Hey, Rob, what's your opinion of CERT?
What's my opinion of CERT? There you go. What's my opinion of CERT? I guess this is the correct venture, the correct venue, I guess, is the proper word. What's my opinion of CERT? I have two primary opinions of CERT. Richard Pethy is not here, is he? Good! Because I'm going to lay into him. My first opinion of CERT is that CERT, I thought, was clueless in the antivirus industry. CERT is still taken is not taken seriously in the antivirus industry. And the reason for that is probably best summed up by Richard Pethy's April 19, 1999 speech, which he went before Congress and he said that he, you know, Melissa this and Melissa that, and he blamed Melissa's spread on everything except the most obvious thing. Melissa's fundamental, ultimate lesson was that antivirus software failed us miserably. And he did, well, not all antivirus software, F-Pro and Leprechaun didn't fail us, but the popular antivirus software failed us miserably, but he blamed everything except that. He blamed the user for double-clicking on attachments. He blamed Microsoft for building the operating system that let it occur. He blamed Microsoft Word. He blamed the hacker. He blamed everybody except the antivirus industry, which I thought was really cool because that made tons of money for us. How many of you, every time you hear about a horrible new Uber virus, you wait in anticipation for your update because you're addicted? You're sitting here, oh, I can't wait to inject my PC with a virus. Oh, and I get that euphoric feeling just like a drug. And Pethy missed this. And Pethy insulted his, oh man, I'm going to pay for this, aren't I? Pethy insulted his analysis teams because he said, oh yeah, our analysis teams are looking at long-term stuff. We knew about this long ago. I picked up the phone to the U.S. Department of Energy Computer Incident Advisory Capability, and I phoned his secretary that I knew, who was one of my sources. And I said, hey, what was Melissa's ultimate lesson? I swear, this is exactly what we said. Hey, what's Melissa's ultimate lesson? Oh, antivirus software failed again. Thanks, Rose. Click. That's literally the conversation that took place. This woman's not a virus expert, but they knew at DOE-CAC that Melissa had spread because antivirus software ultimately failed its job. Antivirus software auto-updates. Well, you're still hooked to the addictive update model. Why didn't the antivirus industry get infected with Melissa? Network Associates was never offline, never missed a single email, and yet Network Associates did not have an update until Monday morning, early Monday morning. The answer is that the antivirus industry has better tools than what you buy. They cannot sell you those tools. I'm defending the antivirus industry right at the moment. They can't sell you these tools because you don't want them. You are convinced that inferior antivirus technology is the only solution that you have. And if you get anything more, then you come up to me, no less, and you say, I'm sorry, Rob, but the cure is worse than the disease. I would rather let the viruses run rampant on my network than get better antivirus software that will keep them off the network. This is what people overwhelmingly come and talk to me about. And the antivirus industry will admit this if you get them rip-roaring drunk. The marketers won't, but the experts will. They've got better technology. And what's going to happen here and PEFI is going to go right along with this, is basically they're going to eventually, you as a society, you as the computer security experts, are going to someday realize, you know, I'm tired of being addicted to antivirus software updates. I'm tired of these things not doing their job. I'm gonna nationalize them just like the baggage handlers that screwed up on September 11th. Yeah. And then they're all going to stand up all at once. And they're all going to go, Eureka, the state of the art is advanced. What a coincidence, just in time. And you're going to praise them like heroes. So, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to take this tape and I'm going to use it against you all.
Told you about it years ago.
It's going to take you a long time because addicts, it takes a lot to get off your addiction. And you're addicted to antivirus software. That's number one. I got number two, which is CERT and NIPSI are in a codependent relationship. You ever seen a codependent relationship? Let's see how you end up codependent relationships. Anybody? I was in a codependent relationship with classic codependent relationship. I was the woman, and I took it up the butt for him all the time. Oh, it's horrible. And CERT and NIPSI, what happened is, in 1999, CERT was really desperate for some publicity. Melissa came along. Hooray for Melissa. And Michael Vattis and Richard Pathia got together, and CERT was out with her girlfriends at the bar, you know, having a couple of drinks, you know, getting some margaritas with the salt on the rim. And you know, NIPSI sauntered up, hey, I got this super secret badge right here. I'm a secret FBI agent. You know, I got political connections, your technical prowess, and you know, my political know-how. We can make beautiful music together. So they went back to NIPSI's pad, and they probably bunked for a while. And now Pathia is the woman in this relationship. And it's really sad, and I can tell you right now that the only way to break a codependent relationship is to sever it completely. And that's what I had to do with I had to literally permanently, and I every once in a while I go back because I'm classic codependent on him. But you know, and if Richard is listening to this tape later on, you know, Richard, I'm telling you, it's one woman to another. You gotta get away from that boy. He isn't good enough for you. So that's what I think of. Oh, thank goodness for comedy. Did that answer your question? Well, it was really nice talking to you for my one and only lecture, but I'm going to do a certain contest. But no, I don't want him to be hurt for that question, and I don't want CERT to be hurt for inviting me down here. This is me being unleashed, as I was telling George earlier today. I really do think that we need this kind of openness. We've got to quit with the taboos. We've got to quit with the respected norms. You've got to be willing to ask the questions that need to be asked. And sometimes that means you have to stand up and you have to make yourself look like a flaming idiot because you're not following the norms. You're not following the respected procedure. That's why every once in a while, you're going to see me hold up a hand and ask a question that the speaker just can't answer correctly. So, and I'm very famous for that. I withheld for the first two lectures, but I'm going to unleash now for the rest of the conference. Sorry, George. Hey, it's okay. How much time do we have left?
About 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes? We've got time for another question. Anybody else got any other questions? Don't be afraid to ask a question that's taboo. I'm sorry, but you must. Yeah, you only give me an hour. Go ahead and ask.
I always thought my 70-year-old mother from sending virus meds. And all of her friends.
How do you stop a 70-year-old grandmother from sending out virus mints? You do it the same way that I did to my stepdad. You go out to the family tree and you say, you know, there's two ways actually. I went out to the family tree and I said, Mom, tell Jim to stop sending these hoax alerts. I'm trying to, you know, go before Congress and do all sorts of cool things here, and I'm trying to stop it, and I can't even get it controlled in my own family tree. This is horrible. And I told my mom, I said, the next time he does that, I'm putting it off on the front page of BMITS. And sure enough, right on the front page of BMITS, I had to push him into submission. But there's another way too, and it's not necessarily the best way, but it's a good way to determine somebody's character. Follow me on this. You send them an email, not to everybody, you just hit the reply button, not reply all, and you say, you've been duped by a hoax. Here's a couple of websites that talk about this hoax. You now have to hit the reply to all button, and you have to send that email out to everybody and tell them that you've been duped. Because if you don't tell them you've been duped, then you're perpetuating a hoax. And don't take any rationalizations from them. You know, like, oh, well, you know, it made them think about updating their antivirus software. Ah, great. Great. They're going to update their antivirus software for no legitimate reason. All right. Let's use up a ton of bandwidth, then we'll update all the time for no legitimate reason. So you've got to get them, and if they hit the reply to all button while they're sitting there, hey, great, that determines their character. If they don't hit the reply to all button, if they let it stand, You could wait for a while, and then you could hit the reply to all button yourself and say, he's letting you be duped by a hoax. I have the proof. And that'll probably excommunicate you right over to the table with the little kids, you know, the little folding table during Thanksgiving. And that's where I was after I did gym. I did sit at the folding table with the grandkids, but because Jim wasn't happy about that. But sometimes, you know, that's a beautiful way to get them. Whether you're going to do it or not, though, I mean, it's great advice, but whether you can take it. I wish CIOs would come out with an email every 6 months to, you're going to have to spam every 6 months if you like the CIO that I don't think. And you would say, okay, those people who continue to get duped by hoaxes may continue to send out emails to all. You may continue to look stupid. If you are not stupid, then you will send them to the computer security team. And by the way, if you're the guy that's supposed to get the emails, delegate. Trust me, I've had to deal with stupid people. You don't want to be responsible for that. Thousands of people. So did that answer your question?
Very well.
Any other questions here? We'll take one more question, and I'm going to go ahead and end it. So, any other questions? No? Yes?
Is there a good source of information for...
Beanuts? No.
I've never been there, so I'm not sure what the Amish...
Oh, you suck. I was talking to the Amish about you. They told me to give you a message. Thou suck!
So,
go ahead.
For information about how certain accreditations or legislation... GLBA, you know, SAC 70s, HIPAA is kind of a joke when it comes down to it. I mean, it's so broad.
Yeah.
It really doesn't do anything. And no one's going to enforce it anyway. And like SAC
70. Oh, people are going to enforce HIPAA. Don't get me wrong. And I can't tell you about all the people that are going to enforce
that depends on what you're talking about. I mean, mm-hmm. You've got a lot of mom and pop shops out there.
Mom and pop, you're right. Yeah.
Right. So, but it's still.
The hospital, military, the government.
One open door. I mean, you're. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where to go for all that stuff? I don't know that answer. I really don't. I subscribe to a couple of hundred mailing lists, and I have keywords that I watch every time those emails come in. But where to go and get good information? I guess a site that and here I'm going to be pumping up vehemence. A site that comes out and claims that it's a critic of that legislation. I want to be able to hear them, but. I don't want you to come out and just blindly trust BMITs. Do not come out and blindly trust BMITs. You've got to make that decision on whether or not they're a viable critic, whether or not they're respected. You've got to make that decision. But once you make that decision on whether or not you trust them, then go ahead and listen to when they are. The critics, I think, are going to have a much better handle on it than the guy who's trying to sell it. So now the good critic is going to tell you both sides. You're not even going to get that all the time with BMITs. So you've got to take us with a serious grain of salt, too. So we've got serious opinions. I think the people that are putting out opinions instead of the reporters are the ones to go to. But you know, I'm just a guy with an opinion. Did that answer your question? It's not the best answer because I don't have a good answer for that. But I hope that answered your question. I'm going to go ahead and stop it right there. You guys have been really great. Don't take my insults personally unless I pointed you out specifically. And you rock, Lee. You know what I mean? You don't have to pay me back because it was good for me too. I'm not over here. Thank you very much. As many of the speakers know, we've got a very nice pen that we're presenting to our speakers this year, and we really, Rob may be surprised. I enjoyed his presentation. I think everybody else did too. If you didn't enjoy it, that's okay. We have little comment things that you can and do that. And I would encourage you, Rob gave you his room number. 2:00 in the morning, y'all just hang out. But congratulations. Thank you very much, Rob. We appreciate you coming out here. All right. That's the most recent gift I've received.
Thank you, Rob.